All right, we are in 1 Peter 5, if you want to turn there, cruising through the book of Peter. I'm attempting to cover probably three verses today, but I think they're very important verses. Of course, every verse in the Bible is very important. But now remember, Peter was writing to a scattered, persecuted church who was gathering probably in pockets at this time, probably some of them in hiding, some of them underground, scattered throughout the area. They were facing much trials, much adversity because of the gospel message that they stayed faithful to. They didn't water down the message. They kept the message, because it's that message, the good news of Jesus, that transforms people's lives and gives them entrance into heaven. So they were faithful to it. And Peter writes to them here, and he's addressing the elders. He says, "The elders which are among you, I exhort." Now that's a warning of encouragement. That's what that word there, exhort, means. It literally means a warning of encouragement. And what he's going to say to the leadership, he's going to say, "Hey, leadership, keep the main thing the main thing." Because the main thing is getting lost within the churches today. And the main thing is the Word of God. And that's what he's going to exhort this church to stay faithful to. All right? He says, "The elders which are among you, I exhort. I'm also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." Now, when he speaks about elders, that's speaking about spiritual leadership within the church. Okay? Your elder pastors here are Josh and Jim, Justin Harley, and then myself. That's the church eldership here. But as we think about that, that's people who have been called by God to be put in spiritual authority for the edification of the church to go out and do the work of the ministry. All right? And you might be thinking, well, you know, that's not my calling in the church. But regardless, that a lot of us in different areas of our life, there's a form of spiritual leadership we've been called to, even if it's within the walls of your home, even if you are privileged to serve the Sunday school or our VBS programs or whatever you might be involved with for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. So these things are exhortations, really, to each one of us. We just need to apply them to the different directions in the areas of our life where we're currently at. So as he says this, he says, "I'm a witness of the sufferings of Christ." Now we remember, well, Peter, you denied the Lord three times, man. You booked. You know, I don't know if Peter really saw Jesus crucified on the cross. He might have. I don't know if Scripture's really clear on that. But regardless, his 3 years with Jesus, he saw a lot of suffering that Jesus went through. He was a partaker of that suffering. He observed it. He was a witness of it. Okay? He saw Jesus suffer by false accusations that were made against him. He saw Jesus suffer when he went to the graveside of a friend that meant a lot to him by the name of Lazarus. He saw people suffer. That made him suffer. He beheld a leper and he sighed. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. So he saw these sufferings that Jesus went through. Okay, and as Christians, we can understand, as we looked at last week, we haven't been given an exemption that being a follower of Jesus, you're not going to go through anything. Life's going to be like cream puff drive. Doesn't happen that way. We don't travel the easy road, we travel a narrow road that leadeth to life, Jesus taught us. And on that road, there will be some crevices, some potholes, some bumps in the way. Things are going to come up, but the bottom line is we get Jesus to walk through it with us. We get his word to hold on to as an anchor to give us encouragement, hope, in perspective. So Peter was a witness of what Christ suffered. And he says, a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. And now this is what he tells the church. And this is what he says first. He says, spiritual leadership, feed the flock of God. I want you to notice whose flock it is. It's God's flock. And God says, when it comes to my church, I want to do my church my way. And if I'm having my way in my church, then those sheep that I have planted there are going to be well fed. And that nourishment isn't going to come from your potlucks or your passive dish picnics. It's going to come from the scriptures. Like Jesus said, that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Almighty God. It's a quote out of Deuteronomy chapter 8. If you will, turn with me to John's Gospel chapter 21. Now, with this verse, there's overall importance of it, something that I take very serious. And there's also something very personal to me in it, which I'll try to open up a little bit as we travel through this. But if you go to John chapter 21, I want you to remember who's writing this. Peter. This is Peter's epistle. Okay? Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit being the author through him, using him and his life experience as the pen to bring biblical truth to the church. All right, we're benefactors of this. But he had to go through some life experiences like we all do, you know, to bring great benefit to other people. And look what Jesus says to him here in John. Now 21, now remember, he denied the Lord, right, 3 times. And the angel came and said, you know, go tell his disciples and Peter specifically. I don't know how Peter perceived that. Like, Peter, you're in trouble, man. The angel called you by name. Or if he received it just as I look at it, like God's encouragement, make sure Peter knows that I'm risen again, like I said. So we're at this point, and Peter gets excited and jumps out of the boat, swims to the shore because they saw the Lord. And then after dinner, there's this personal dialogue taking place between Jesus and Peter that we're privy to because we've been given this by the Holy Spirit. Probably John, Big Ear John, listening to the conversation. Thank God he did, though. And it says in verse 15 of John 21, he says, So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And maybe it was the apostles, you know, because he said, hey, these guys, if they betray you, you know, you can count on me, Lord. It might have been that, you know, all his fishing equipment was there, the old life that he was familiar with, that which made him a lot of money. You know, maybe it was the old life and what he enjoyed doing. I'm not 100% sure. But he said unto him, yea, Lord, you know that I love thee. And look what he says here. He says, feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. And he said unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said, feed my sheep. And he said unto him the third time, Simon, thou son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him a third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Peter is passing on great important counsel that was handed to him from the King of Heaven. And he said, you know what, Peter, I'm calling you into the ministry, and not too many days from this point right here, I'm going to give you the power to carry out what I've called your life to. But this is one of the things that I want you to remember that is of paramount importance in a ministry, is that church is centered around the Bible. That church is centered around the good news of the bloodshed cross of Jesus Christ. People need the Word of God. We're in a world that's an absolute mess because of where the Word of God currently stands in it. And I'm telling you, if you want your life to count, like that scripture that Harley quoted, they put up there, you know, created unto good works, all that. If you want to be a life changer, then you need to share what's life changing. Because this stuff impacts lives for all of eternity. Well beyond a generation of what we're called to, 50, 60, 70, 80 years, whatever it might be. It's of great importance. Now listen, now remember, he's telling them to feed the flock of God, right? Acts 20, you don't have to turn there, but listen to what Paul says when he leaves the elders at Ephesus. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. You see how important it is that the church be fed. It's of the utmost importance that my calling that I will stand and give an account someday for is that I take you through the Bible. I don't get up here, share my opinions, share a bunch of flowery stories or any of those things. But when you leave here, you might learn something from the scriptures. And that the choice out of your own heart that you would yield yourselves to its truth and let God work in your life that he might be able to fulfill the good works that he has preordained before the foundation of the world that he created you for his purpose. I've had people come here before and say, you know what? I've learned more in 1 week at the church here listening to that message than I have my whole life, and I've gone to church. Look, it's got nothing to do with the communicator. It's got everything to do with the content, the Bible. This is what changes lives, and this is what we're going to hold on to by the grace of God until he blows the trumpet and tells us to come up thither. Now, if you go back to Peter with me, the Bible does several things as we read it. First of all, it's living and active. It's a place of divine communication. This is where God wants to speak into your life about you, about his relationship with you. As I teach it, my hope is that maybe from what I've prepared through the week, that maybe it would bring some kind of encouragement or confirmation into your lives as you travel this life walking with Jesus. But I wrote down some things, and you don't have to turn there, but you can actually write these down and look them up later. But some of the things that the Word of God does. Because I hope to do for you what other pastors in the past have done for me, that they have actually whet my appetite so that I would desire more personal feeding on the Scriptures myself in my private individual walk with Jesus. That's what I hope to do for you. I hope that we as a church, each one of us personally, can get to a place where we can say, like Job said, that I have esteemed the words of his mouth more necessarily than my daily provision of food. That I hunger, my soul, it hungers for what God wants me to know, what God wants to speak to me. The Bible, you can write this down, Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I believe that the word of God, it builds faith. It builds faith. It encourages us to step out into our design purpose. You need to know today that you have a design purpose. God tells us that. We saw it this morning. Awesome that was the scripture that Harley referenced. It helps us to step out of the devil's temptations and entrapments, just like Jesus said when he was tempted as Satan, it is written, okay? So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans chapter 10 tells us, okay? That's what builds faith. Not just walking blindly, hope so, in my own thoughts, but God's word. Something very important, extremely important, and maybe the most important of what the Bible does is it reveals Jesus to us. It reveals Jesus to us. John 5:39, Jesus said this, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and those are they that testify of me." If you want to know who Christ is, you can't draw that from your own intellect, and you can't get it from the opinion of the masses. You've got to get it from the Bible. You've got to get it from the Bible. God introduced himself to us through his word. That's how I know Jesus. That's how I know him. And his design, like in any relationship, through time, through communication, is that we would get to know him more and more, and that relationship would deepen and deepen and deepen. So John 5:39, the scriptures, they testify of Jesus. The word of God strengthens the core of Christ-like character in our life. And I think that is of essential importance today when there's a lot of stuff that has Christianity dubbed to it that is the farthest thing from Christianity. Just because something calls itself Christian doesn't mean it's Christian. What did Jesus say? Take heed that no man will deceive you, because many are going to come. He doesn't say in someone else. He says, many are going to come in my name. All right? So we've got to be very careful with these things. But this strengthens the core of Christ-like character. It rules the heart. 1 John 2:14 says, I've written unto you, young men, because you're strong, as the word of God abides in you. It's an interior strength. It's integrity. It's valor. It's virtue. And it is that way, not to bring honor to self, but to bring glory to the one who died on the cross for us. And for many of us in this room, the scripture is medicinal. Psalm 107:20 says, he sent his word and he healed them. There's healing principles in the spoken word of God. There's people in this room who have life wounds. You got wounded maybe in childhood, maybe from your foolish years as a youth. Maybe you've been wounded in your marriages, maybe wounded by your children. Some of your wounds are self-inflicted, some of them are other-inflicted. The one decision you wish you could do over, the one day you wish you could do over, a season of backsliding, the thing that you never saw coming, or something that was totally out of your control. But God sends His word, and He brings healing to the wounds of His people. That's what He does. We have a healer, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. And you know what? He might not always, we anoint people with oil, and you know, sometimes there's not always this miraculous physical healing. I've seen it before. But you know what? When this goes forth, it has the power to bring healing to whatever your circumstances are. And sometimes that healing won't come until we submit ourselves to what it has to say for our lives and ask for the power of the Holy Spirit to carry it out. If you will, let's look at an example. Go to Luke 24 with me real quick. This is a post-resurrection appearance of Jesus. It's when He meets the two on the Emmaus Road. And I want you to look at what He does for these hearts. Okay? Now remember, what we're talking about, all this I'm saying goes back to what Peter was told, what Peter told the elders to do, because of what Jesus told Peter to do is to feed the church. To feed the church, the Word of God. We're all about physical nourishment, but of even greater importance is that we take in spiritual nourishment. I want to encourage you and challenge you that I just pray and I just hope that this is not the only feeding you get throughout your week. Because I promise you, Jesus is going to tell you greater things in your own intimate time with Him than I'm going to tell you in congregational time. I just hope that it confirms to you what He's already sharing with you. So, we're at the Emmaus Road. And it says here, now He's having this conversation with these guys. They didn't understand what happened. They were hoping that He was the answer, but they didn't think He was the answer. And in verse 24, it says they're given explaining to Jesus what happened, and certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, found it even as the woman said, but him they saw not. And look what Jesus says, oh, you fools. Or just literally means without understanding. He wasn't trying to demean them. And slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? And look at this, in beginning at Moses and in all the prophets, He expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning Himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and He made as though He would have gone further, but they constrained Him, saying, abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. And He went in to tarry with them, and it came to pass as He sat at meat with them, He took bread, blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew Him, and He vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, now here's the whole thing. Did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us, by the way, and while He opened to us the Scripture? That word there, burned, literally means to move in the mind. Their hearts, their minds, they were moved. What were they moved by? They didn't even know it was Jesus. They didn't even know it was Him. They weren't moved because it was Jesus. They were moved because it was the Word of God. It was the Word of God that moved them. And He says here, did not our hearts burn within us while He talked with us, by the way, and He opened to us the Scripture. That's what changed everything with them. Okay? They were slow of heart to believe, and then all of a sudden their hearts are burning, their minds are moving. And what was the content in the midst? What was the meat of that sandwich? Expounding the Scriptures. That's why we expound the Scriptures. Because we believe God has a message congregationally. God has a message personally. And we believe that the Bible is exactly what the sheep of God need. And we want to be a Bible-centered, gospel-focused church. Because that's what's going to bring true growth into the hearts of God's people. You can turn back to Peter with me. In knowing the Word of God, and when we're fed the Word of God, and when we're feeding ourselves the Word of God, we already looked at it in 1 Peter 3:15, you know, that we got to be ready always to give an answer for someone of the hope that lies in us, right? Look, we live in a broken world that's hurting and needs some answers. Look at the direction people are looking. I mean, they're putting Band-Aids on. The Bible's not a box of Band-Aids. The Bible is the cure forever in someone's life. And we live in a hurting world, and you know what? They need answers. And we've been called to sit with Jesus Christ, let Him speak His truth into our life, that we might have answers for people who need them. I think also 2 Thessalonians 2:3 and 2 Timothy 4:3 tell us that we are heading into days where people are going to defect from the Bible. They're going to defect from the Word of God. They're going to turn themselves away from the Bible. It doesn't say they're going to quit going to church. Actually, church attendance might be on the incline. But inside of those facilities, the Word of God is not the central focus. And Jesus Christ and His cross are not being preached. Those are the dangers of the days in which we live, that people are turning their ears from sound doctrine, and they want their ears tickled. They want to find places that will tell them what they want to hear instead of loving them enough to tell them what they need to hear. And you and I and all of us in here, we need to hear what Jesus says. This is what we need. It's a need. And He loves us enough to deliver it. So whatever form it comes in, and it comes in various forms. I had devotions with the Lord the other morning. It came in the form of a little bit of a spanking I needed. But sometimes it comes with correction. Sometimes it comes with encouragement. Sometimes it comes with revelation. Sometimes it comes with wisdom. But it's living and active, and it'll meet you where you're at. And it'll take you where He wants you to go. And I want to focus on this part, feed, look at the flock of God which is among you. Okay, that's my calling. That's the guy's calling to you because you're amongst us. Okay, some people are going to be here. They're going to be here for a season, some a forever season, some a long season, and some a short season. And the hope that I have, no matter what they do, no matter where they go, is I believe that the Word of God does not return void. So as long as you're here, I'm going to be like the sower, and I'm going to throw this seed out, and I'm going to believe that God will use it to accomplish what He's designed it to do. That's the power of the Bible. But as we look at this, He says, feed the flock of God which is among you. One of the things that you got to realize, actually, turn to James 3 with me real quick. That's just a couple pages over, a couple pages back, I should say. Ministry, it's not a profession. It's a calling. And really, when I look at it, maybe somebody can correct me, but I think I have probably the most important job on the planet because I want to present a clear gospel message and give people the decision. Because heaven's real, hell's real, and forever is forever. And it's so important that if someone were to come into this church not knowing Christ, and to leave this church not knowing Christ, that I gave them the opportunity to come to know Christ and to do it in a clear fashion. And in James 3, this is one of the things that is so heavy on my heart for me personally, especially when I think of you, because, you know, I don't look at you like, hey, you're my flock. You're not my flock. I didn't shed blood for you. I've shed some sweat and tears for you, but I haven't shed blood for you. You're Jesus's. And because you are, I have this reverential outlook on you because of the position that you hold to Him. And the thing about the ministry, and I'll get back to that a little bit, is that I didn't pick the ministry. Actually, I told God a long time ago, hey, you bring a Calvary Chapel to town, I'm going to go to it. You know, and then all of a sudden, this thing sprung up out of the ground out of nowhere by God's grace, and look what we've got today, praise the Lord. But, you know, I didn't pick the ministry. I got to look by faith now. I didn't pick the ministry. The ministry picked me. And what I mean in that is look what is said here. I better grab my glasses. I was going to try to do it without it, but those days are over. He says here, my brethren, we're in James 3. Did I tell you that? Got a lot going on up here. James 3, verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing we shall receive the greater condemnation, which literally means be not many teachers, my brethren, knowing that we shall receive heavier judgment. I'm going to be more accountable someday. I'm going to stand before Jesus. I'm going to give an account. I'm not just going to give an account for what I taught you, but for how I taught you, the what and the how. I got to make sure that my heart is purged every time I teach you the Bible, and there's a lot that happens during my week that where my heart needs purging. Hebrews 13 tells us that we're going to give an account for your souls. I take that very serious. I've had to handle hard situations over the years, and I always remember at the beginning of a trial or some kind of an adverse thing that I get pulled into because I'm in a ministry. It's almost the first thing that comes into my mind anytime I got to deal with anything. I wish I could tell you I was perfect, but I'm not when I deal with things, but I try to be. The first thing that comes into my mind with dealing with people is to remember, I'm going to give an account for the way that I handle this. It's a position of reverence for who you are because of who he says you are. And the high privilege that it is for me to be in this position that I do not deserve, that I have not earned, it's just God uses the foolish things of the world. And I qualified, I guess. So if we're doing this here congregationally, shouldn't we be doing this personally? Shouldn't we be doing this as a family? These things that we've looked at, I believe the Word of God does this and much more. And if you do too, then we, as a family of God, will occupandi temporis, which literally means we will seize the moment. We'll seize the moment. We will bring the Word of God, not just to our church, but it'll be the center of our Sunday school. It'll be the center of our VBS program. It has been the center of Gilead with their chapel, devotions, discipleship, and apologetics. It'll be the center of our youth group, and it is the center of my football team. It's of the utmost importance. Now, you can go back to Peter. I guess I'm just giving you kind of a little bit of an outlook on you know, I just feel like the Lord speaking into Peter, and Peter speaking into the elders that are here in 1 Peter, and his council just speaking into my own heart, that look at, there's nothing that can take any credit for what God has done here except for his very grace working through the wonderful message of Jesus Christ, and it built a family. That's what's happened here. That's what's happened. And it's the Word of God that endures forever, because you know what? Pastors and teachers and evangelists, they come, they live, they serve, they die, but the Word of God and the work of the Holy Spirit continues working on and continues moving on. This verse right here is an amazing personal verse to me, because he says, feed the flock of God which is among you, and taking oversight here, because back in probably 1999, I think it was, we had our coffee shop going, and you know, I started teaching a Thursday Bible study, and, you know, and it just, things got hard. I mean, just flat out, things got hard, you know. And I remember sharing with the Lord, you know, that you need to speak to my heart or I'm done. I was going to quit him. You know, it was just a little Bible study, just a few people down at this coffee shop, and get our Bibles out, get a caffeine thing going, and we'd enjoy the night. But this is, I just have learned, and I've got to embrace it because it is what it is that the Word of God is just going to draw an extreme amount of warfare, because where the Bible is taught, that's the front lines of the battle. There's a war going on right now. There's a war going on over this, not over what I'm saying, but what this is saying in the people's lives. There's people that are praying right now because there's principalities and powers that are involved that want to cause you to stay blind, disbelieve it, believe you can't have any victory, believe you can't be saved, believe you can't be redeemed, that this isn't true. That's what's going on in this place here today in the spiritual realm. So as I was going through a lot of that stuff in me, I couldn't take it anymore. And I didn't want to because it was hard. So I said, God, you know, I'm just, if you don't speak to my heart today, tonight, right now, I'm done teaching. And at the time, you know, I was kind of relatively new in the Lord. I didn't know where every verse was or what every chapter was about. And there's still most of them I don't, you know. But God just had me read the whole book of 1 Peter. And I got to this verse and it said, feed the flock which is among you. Keep teaching your Bible study. And I'll tell you, things didn't get easier, but I just tried to be obedient. And that was probably around 1999. And as I look around here today, so glad I did. Because God gave me a bunch of wonderful people in my life. And there's a lot of fruit and blessing that comes from obeying what the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And then the second part of that, taking oversight thereof, you know, as the ministry began to grow. You know, we started church services August 3rd, 2003. I was in electrical union. I was working all kinds of overtime. I was teaching the Sunday service and the Thursday service. I remember coming home and taking off the work boots and putting on some shoes and sneaks and heading to mental wards to pray for people, hospitals to pray for people, whatever it was crazy. And you know, really things at home were kind of, I was a little bit MIA a lot of nights, you know, and God spoke this verse to me that it was time to take oversight of the flock, you know, to be there, to be an overseer, to help tend and lead and guide and protect, you know. So in October, a few months later, I put down my hard hat and my tools, and God brought me here to the ministry. And it's been a wonderful example of what God can do when we walk by faith. You see, that's walking by faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I heard what God had to say, and by the strength of the Holy Spirit and the grace of Jesus, I tried to obey. And I can't encourage you enough, just from my own personal experience, whatever God's speaking into your life, do it. But it's hard. It doesn't matter. What's hard is being pulverized on a cross for the sins of humanity, being separated from the Father. That's what's hard. Anything that you endure here, any trial, any tribulation, any adversity, the hardships that might come into your life, you know what? Yeah, they're hard, but they're going to make you stronger. They're going to make you more compassionate. They're going to make you more Christ-like. Just expect difficulty, and it won't surprise you when it shows up, because we have a real enemy that hates us, and he's going to do everything he can to discourage us. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. That's what Paul wrote to Timothy. So take oversight. Look at, not by constraint, not because you have to, but look at willingly. Willingly. It's a choice of the will. Why? Because the temptation's always to leave. I'm not, from the get-go of the ministry, I said, I will always share where I'm at with the church. Because I want you to know that I identify with you. I identify with your struggles. I can't tell you, man, my flesh at times has thought, you got to get out of the ministry. When things get hard, when things get difficult, you know, my flesh, it's like water, man. It wants the path of least resistance, you know, and there's a lot of resistance here, not because of who I am, because of what this is, because of what this accomplishes. This is what the enemy comes after. So he says to do it, where am I? To do it willing, my will. Look at, to do it willingly, and that's what you got to circle there, right? The word willingly begins with the four letters, W-I-L-L, will. It's a choice of our will. I choose to obey out of appreciation because I'm grateful for Jesus' sacrifice. That's why. That's why we do it willingly. Any opportunity that you get to serve God, do it willingly with a right perspective. Don't lose sight of Jesus' sacrifice, because that will marinate our hearts with gratefulness and appreciation. That will cause us to serve fueled with the right heart, not for filthy lucre. It's not a place where you want to knock down big money at all. You don't want a Judas mentality. Many churches have pulpits without shepherds behind them. They have hirelings behind them. And the reality of the hireling is about self-interest, and he careth not for the sheep. Your leadership cares about you. As imperfect as we are, we hope we don't drop the ball in your life, but we're here to feed you, love you, and serve you to the greatest of the ability that the Spirit empowers us to do. He says here, but of a ready mind. And that word ready mind literally means moved with a strong desire, passion, and enthusiasm. I enjoy the Bible. I enjoy teaching it most of the time. Sometimes it's pretty difficult, but most of the time I enjoy teaching it. And I feel very passionate about it because I know what it has the ability to do in people's lives. About 1 o'clock today, I'm going to be screaming like a maniac for my fantasy football team, because I play Jake Fish, and you can pray for me because he's been interrogating me all week long. But I scream for our Gilead football team. I scream for our wrestlers. I get very passionate, very enthusiastic about these things that really, on an eternal timeline, don't have the value that this holds. I'm at a point in my life, I can't listen to pastors that have no enthusiasm. All I can do is turn the channel and hope I can find one that does. We should be very passionate about the Bible, whether we teach our devotions, whether we bring the Word of God into somebody's life. It'll never be real and alive in them unless it's real and alive in us. And this word is wonderful. It gives faith. It gives help. It gives healing. It gives guidance. It gives wisdom. It gives everything that you and I need to finish our course in this world that nothing else and no one else can provide for us. It is the reference point of life. It is the anchor that we need to the unchanging, it's the unchanging anchor that we need through ever-changing circumstances that we will face. Forever his word is established in heaven. Thy word abideth forever. He elevates his word above his own name. If Jesus said it's that important, how much should it be to us? Father, we thank you that we can receive from your word encouragement and challenge that can produce so many wonderful things inside of us for your glory and for our good. I pray for us as a church, Lord, that even now as I think about Job and how his soul just hungered for your word, Lord, and how you met him in his hungering, Lord, that you would just create an increase, an appetite for each one of us that are in this room here today, in this church here today, even our youth, God, that there would be a settled, dedicated time where we would want to get face to face with you, our Creator and our Redeemer. That we would open up our hearts, our minds, and our ears to that which you want to speak into our life. And that we would be able to receive from you everything that we need to take us down the road that will cause us to finish well, where we can experience on this side of eternity the abundance of life that you promised to us, Jesus. So we thank you, Lord, for your word. I don't know where we would be, Lord, or what we would do if we didn't have Genesis through Revelation. And I pray, Father, that each time your saints pick up your word, Father, that you would just reveal and unveil more of yourself, more of your goodness to each one, that you would draw us in with your love. There's so many things out there that want to distract us, Lord, yet to be still before you, to listen to your still small voice, and to receive from you that which our soul needs. I pray, Father, that you just continue to nourish us and make us strong, God. Strong in the faith, giving glory and honor to you. In Jesus' name, amen.